All right, let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word. And I want to shorten it a bit from what's published in your bulletin. Just one verse, Luke 9, verses 23 through 26. Luke 9, verses 23 through 26. And he, Jesus, said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed, when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. As I said, your thought for today is, there is no crown wearing without cross bearing. There is no crown wearing without cross bearing. The church's surrender to the headship of Christ guides and guards its purity. The church's surrender to the headship of Christ guides and guards its purity. As we were reminded earlier in this service, who is the church? We are the church. And so our surrender to the headship of Christ guards our own personal purity and guides our own personal pursuit of purity, but also works corporately within the body of believers that we call the church to guide and guard that purity of that church. And so what Christ is calling for here is he's rallying those who would hear, and those, as he liked to say, who had ears to hear, let them hear, that he is calling for a battle of the wills. He's calling for a battle of the wills. There is a decision of worth and cost that we all make. And what Jesus is asking for here is that whoever would seek to follow him, that they would consider the cost. And I'll get into that in just a moment. But he is saying that if you want to be my follower, whoever would come after me. Now, whoever would come after him, Jesus has just set this up when he says in verse 22, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." So I'm here to sign you up for that lifestyle. Who wants to step forward and join me in this? That's really what he's saying here. This is my future. I'm going to be rejected by all of those that you are holding dear, and I'm going to be killed, and God is going to raise me up. And so are you ready for that kind of lifestyle? Are you ready for that kind of dedication? Are you ready for that kind of surrender? So all who would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Luke 14, a little later on in this book, Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" There is questions about, well, how do we count the cost? We read these scriptures, and so how do we count the cost of being a disciple of Christ? Well, notice what Christ said here about building a tower. Do you have what it takes to complete this goal? Do you have what it takes to complete this mission? And so what Christ is saying here when he gives this illustration is, you add in all of those unseen, unexpected costs. Do you have what it takes with determination, to follow the path to complete the goal? Do you have what it takes? Do you have the determination to complete the goal? Do you have what it takes to complete this tower? No matter what happens, the commitment is to finish, no matter what we run into. The commitment is to finish the tower. And so there is a cost estimate that all of us run through. We don't sit down like an accountant and we put in the left column and the right column and then come up with a balance. We don't do that literally. But every time you are faced with a decision, you run a cost estimate. If you want to be successful at something, in other words, you want to achieve the goal, is the cost of achieving that goal worth it to me in order to pursue that goal? We'd all like to be successful. We'd all like to achieve great things. Most of us, not everyone, but most of us would like to be recognized for academic achievement while we're in school. We want to know things. We want to be successful in our jobs. And so we run a cost estimate within our own hearts. Is this cost that I'm going to have to put out, if you will, worth the goal that I'm trying to achieve? And so that's the question that Christ is asking when he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow daily, and follow me. He wants us to run a cost estimate. Is it worth it to you to be subjected to the lifestyle that Christ just said that he's going to be subjected to, if that's what it takes? Is it worth it to you to wear the crown of glory? Is bearing the cross of Christ worth it to you to wear the crown of glory? That's the underlying question here. That is your cost estimate. Now, how does that apply to our lives? You had a cost estimate done this day and how you came to church. There are other things you could have done this day. Many other things, as was illustrated in our little play there with the children, where you were calling Hallie's name. Many things called to you this morning. You could have laid in bed. You could have gone out to the lake. You could have gone fishing. You could have done a number of different things, but you came here. There was a cost estimate done, an evaluation of what it would cost you for you to be here this day. You didn't realize you did that, but that was a decision that was made. If you want to lose weight, if you want to have a body like a football player or whatever your goal in life is, you want to be successful at your job, there's a cost estimate there. And so Jesus is asking us to do things, do the same as his followers. Is wearing the crown worth it? Worth bearing the cross to you? And that's something that you as an individual have to decide. That's something that we go about in that wearing of that cross and denying ourselves for success. That end goal must be more important than the cost. For our success, the end goal must be more important than the cost. So how do we go about finishing building our tower? He says, let him deny himself. So what is that self-denial? Self-denial is giving up the right to live by my own rules and choosing to live by the rules that God puts out there. It's called surrender. Denying self is denying ourselves the right that we have to live by our own rules and surrendering to the rules of God that he gives to us and the desire that he has for his people to live Christ-like lives. Serving the desires of the flesh when there is a choice between serving God and serving myself. Giving in. When there is a legitimate choice, what does that mean? It means when, as children say, I'm bored. Okay? And so you're one day. What am I going to do today? I don't have to go to work. I don't have to take care of my kids. That's not prominent on my list this day, as we're always taking care of kids in some form or fashion. But I have a legitimate choice. So what do I do? So what do I reach for? What do I reach for? Most of the time, and then this gathers dust. Oh, I got the Bible app, preach, and so I'm checking my Bible. Okay, I know that too. You know, some people have the pose in church. You know, it looks like they're reading their Bible and they're like they're agreeing with everything he says. But when you have a legitimate decision here, okay? In other words, you don't have to go to work. There's nothing pressing on you. You have a legitimate decision. Well, how do I fill my time? How do I fill that space? What do you reach for? That'll give you some key of the cost estimate that you just ran about the goals in life. Well, preacher, I want to wear that crown. Well, is the cost of bearing the cross worth it to you to wear the crown? I want to win at this in life. What is the cost of bearing preparation to achieve that goal worth it to wear the crown of achievement for that goal? That's the cost estimate that we run. Denying self is illustrated by what Paul says here in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Incorporated into those verses there in Philippians 2 is the backbone of what Christ is asking that crowd this day when he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He was in the likeness of God. In other words, he was equal to God. But he did not let that stop him from becoming a servant and surrendering to the will of God for the purpose of God, for him to die upon the cross, so that you and I can have the privilege now of being called into the family of God, where you and I now can have the choice between doing what is evil and doing what is right. And so Christ surrendered to the call of God within his own life, within the will of God, within his own life. He surrendered to that will. Even though he was equal with God, he didn't let his station or status stop him from surrendering to the plan of the Father. And it carried him all the way to the cross. And Jesus said, "Are you willing to do that for me?" Is the cost of bearing the cross, or is the wearing of the crown worth the cost of bearing the cross? That's what Jesus is asking the church today. He said, "I did it. I was wearing the crown, and I chose at that moment to put aside the crown and to bear the cross so that the church can glorify my Father, so that I could prepare the way for the church to glorify my Father in how we live, in how we love, in how we serve, in how we surrender." And so there was an evaluation of cost there, but there was no hesitancy on the part of the Savior. His desire was to satisfy the will of God. It took him to Gethsemane. It took him to a condition, a medical condition, where it was like his capillaries were squeezing blood out through his skin because of the stress of that situation. When there in Gethsemane, he prayed, "Not my will, Father, but your will be done." And there was surrender there, a confirmation of the surrender that he had made way back when the plan of God was made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to capture the church, to bring the church into relationship with God. And there was a surrender made on the part of the Savior. And Jesus is saying, "Are you willing to make that same sacrifice? Are you willing to deny yourself? Are you willing to follow me and not your own desires? Are you willing to make that hard cost analysis? Is my being here in church worth the effort to achieve the goal of wearing the crown with Christ in heaven? Is my faithfulness to the cause of Christ worth the effort of bearing that cross to achieve the price of wearing the crown in heaven? Is my surrender to God's desire for me to love my enemies, to pray for my enemies, to share His love on this earth by those less fortunate, to love my mother and father, to love my fellow man as I love myself, is all of that worth the effort, that cross bearing? Because, folks, only the church can bear a cross. Only the church can bear a cross, because only the church has the legitimate choice between following God and following your own desires. Until you are brought into the church, until you are brought into relationship with God, you follow your own desires. Whether you like that or not, that's the truth. What is your own desire? Well, I follow the law. That's your own desire. I get up and I'm obedient to my parents. They send me to school. I do all of these things that I'm supposed to do for my parents. But okay. But the desire that you have within you is you are guided by your own moral compass. When you are brought into relationship with Christ, you are guided by the moral compass of God Himself. You are guided by His Spirit, His desire to make you into His image, into His likeness, and have you glorify Him. What does that mean? It means that you make Him look good by how you live your life on this earth. Because of what He's done for you. Because of your association with Him. If you are in relationship with another individual and that individual goes off on the deep end and starts murdering and killing and robbing banks and all of these kinds of things, it may be my boy, but he sure don't make me look good. And so Christ is saying, make God look good by how you live your life, by surrendering to that call. That call of Christ, wearing the crown is worth the effort of bearing the cross. If we try to preserve our old lifestyle, that living under Satan's rule, what did Christ say about that? For whoever would save his life, what does that mean? Preserve my ability to dictate what I do, when I do it, make my own decisions, go by my own sense of morality. How do I get my own sense of morality? Well, my friends say this. I've read this in a book. I hear this in school. My colleagues at work think this is okay. In my own mind, I look at things and I see what the end result would be. And so I excuse all of the actions necessary to achieve that end. And I go about achieving that goal by my own measures, by my own wits, by my own morals. That's what it means. But what God, through Christ, is asking us to do is that we surrender to His way of doing things. That's like when Hallie's mother whispered into her ear, grab this cord and it'll take you to God. And there was a moment when Hallie had to decide, do I trust what was being whispered into my ear? And her mother... She trusted her mother, thankfully. She trusted her mother to do that task. And so what is that Spirit whispering into your ear this day? What is He whispering into your heart this day? And are you listening to it? Are you surrendering to it? Do you trust God enough to do it His way? Is the price, the glory of wearing the crown, worth the cost of bearing the cross? Bearing the cross, folks, is not that mother-in-law you have to put up with, that father-in-law you have to put up with, that person at work that you have to put up with, that Monday morning that you have to put up with. That is not bearing a cross. Only the church can bear a cross, and the cross is a legitimate choice between following God and following your own desire, following your own sense of morals, morality, following your own little hamster ball that I use one illustration of. You know, our own sense of morality is like that little hamster ball. You put the hamster in there, and he goes around, and that little hamster ball takes him wherever his little feet take him, but it always captures him, and he's never truly free, is he? And so your own set of moral rules guide you just that way. But Christ is asking you to come out of that hamster ball of your own sense of morality and surrender to God's call in your life. And be led to the glory of the crown that is ours for faithfully serving, faithfully surrendering, faithfully following the call of Christ in our life. Being led by that. There is no crown wearing without cross bearing. Let me pray for you. Father, may you look into our lives this day and find the needs that we have that are keeping us from complete and total surrender to you. Father, look into my heart. Find those places there that I try to keep hidden from you, that are hindering me from grabbing that cord of Christ. Father, I just pray this for this congregation, that they will hear your voice loud and clear and be led by your Spirit and hold dearly onto Christ. That in whatever analysis we do, we will find you worthy of surrender. Worthy of the price of my life, the cost that it is to my life of following you. That crown will be well worth that cost. And I pray for your Spirit's assistance in this for all of us here this day. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.